Let me share something with you young men right now. Pastor John, as you know, is not God. As a matter of fact, Pastor John is guilty of not putting forth good acts all the time. Some of you have been in Pastor John's company when you've heard me. Listen, you know, when we talk about who's telling the truth, I was telling my wife yesterday, I said, Lucy, I've had some conversations with some people, and if they really wanted to hang me out to dry, my life, Brother McDaniel, is an open book. And so you see, it's not the issue necessarily of who's telling the truth. The issue is, what have I said in the past that can come up and not haunt me? Because if somebody says it, I'm going to say, yeah, I said it. I sure did. Why did you say it? Because that's what I felt in my heart. Lust, passion, dirt came up. And I said, and then I turned the thing around and said, now, are you willing to tell me what you said? I've never. No, you lying. Yes, you have. But you know what? And then, listen, isn't it wonderful? Packer put it this way last night as I was reading from it. He says, you can't fault God. He knows it all. He's seen it. He's heard it. He knows you. But then when you come to some old kind of piece of clay like me, well, I can't let him know. I already know you're a liar. The word just called you that. All of you, your brothers, your mothers, all of you are liars. See, God has a number, church. He has a number. And when you're Christian and you're young men and you're walking like that, then you have no fear. You tell truth. You speak truth. I think Paul puts it this way, let every man speak truth with his neighbor. And then when somebody asks you a question, did you say that? Yes, I did. Did you do that? Yes, I did. And I'm not going to stand up here and say, I have sinned. I says, I did that, I said that. Why? Because I wanted to. It's a part of me. Is it good? It's foul, it's dirty, it's filthy. But that's the root of my nature. Wouldn't it be a great thing that if you could have seen that? Yeah, I said it. No, I didn't say it. Yeah, I'm lying. Why did you lie? Because that's the very root of my nature. And then hold up Jeremiah and start reading it. La-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di. Oh, all the cameras would immediately shut down. They said, we ain't got no story here. True. From the mountaintops. Young men, listen. God wants your life to be an example of good acts. Young men that are not married, good acts. Number one, if you're engaged to get married, you can't do nothing but maybe peck the person on the cheek. Number two, keep your hands in your pocket. Number three, you to go nowhere unsupervised outside of another believer. Number four, you are not to talk about your most intimate desires. You do not have a right. It says, an example of good deeds. Good deeds. Young men, when somebody asks you the truth, you're supposed to tell them the truth. Even if it's going to cut you. Somebody asks you something, we were playing a little game. It was called the detective game Friday night. And I chose the card that made me the chief detective. And they put me in another room. And when I came out of the room, somebody so-called murdered somebody. And I was supposed to go up to everybody in the room and ask them, did they do it? But the rules of the game was, is that in the game you can tell a lie, but the detective has to find out which one is lying. I went up to my friend, the pastor of the church. I said, you the pastor of the church. I know you didn't do it. And he says, you're right, I didn't. And then I looked around and I saw some guy that had shifty eyes. I said, oh, I know who did it. You did it. Because your eyes are shifting and everything. I didn't do it, man. I said, no, man, you did it. So I looked around to my Chinese brothers and sisters. I said, come on, did he do it? They all started laughing. So she said, time's up. Pastor John, who did it? I said, he did it. She said, nope. Send me in the room the third time. After the third time, I still couldn't pick the person. I came out, and my time was up, and they told me who did it. Guess who did it? The pastor. It blew my mind, Deacon. I said, wait a minute. The very person that I would never suspect, the very person that's supposed to be the highest one, and that's why they chose him, because they said another pastor would never suspect another pastor of doing that, would he? I sure didn't. Now you see, they showed me something about human nature. Young men, know this. You're going to find yourself doing things that you would never suspect yourself doing if you weren't concentrating on the Word of God. Young man, you're going to find yourself doing some deeds and thinking about some acts because the devil is out to wreck your lives. Young men, those of you that are married, well, we'll get into that. I think that's coming down a little bit later. Look what it says. That you have good deeds with purity in doctrine. Now, I don't think I have to say too much about that in this church. Pure doctrine means you only follow the Word of God. Pure doctrine means, young men, you speak out against that which is wrong. You speak out boldly. I was speaking, to give you a good illustration, I was speaking with my postman. My postman is a fine Christian. Some of you know him. And he came by and he says, "Pastor John, I'm afraid to go to lunch with you now." I said, "Why are you afraid to go to lunch with me?" He says, "That may be the day that some of these crooked preachers try to take you out." He says, "It's a dangerous thing being around you." That's what he said. I says, "Well, listen, man, there's one thing that's an advantage in that. Because if somebody takes me out, they got to take you out. And as the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." So I said, "So that may be towards your advantage." But I think what he was trying to say is that your purity of doctrine is now getting you in trouble with other people. Let me share something with you. There are two ways to handle doctrine. You can take it, you can read it, you can have Bible studies, and you can cast it aside and apply it to someone else, or you can take it and you can apply it to your heart and you can live it. And then when you do that, what God is going to do is he's going to send you to the one that you love the most and tell them that the doctrine that they're in is impure. That is the way God's going to do it. And guess who he's going to do it through first? He's going to do it through the men in the church. The men in the church. And some of you ladies are bold enough to do that, but I'm telling you, men, what he wants you to do is go to your workplace. How many of you got these little Bible studies in the workplace? These little Bible studies where these people that go to these heretic churches are running the Bible study. But you don't want to sit in the Bible study because you know that those folks are, well, you're supposed to go right there. And then when they come up with that stuff and say, "Man, that's heresy." How's that heresy? Because look what the Bible really says. It says, "The love of money is the root of all evil." And you just told those people, if you have faith, you can take what you want. And it says, "You are a heretic and you are studying from a heretic." Tell them they can't fire you. Young men, that's what God wants you to do. God wants you to walk around, and when somebody invites you to go to their church, and you know that the preacher is a crook, a scoundrel, no good, you know what he wants you to do, young men? After the church, and they say, "What do you think about that church?" "Nothing." Says, "What do you mean? That is not God's way." Why do you take that approach? Go to Titus chapter 2. It says, "Likewise, I'm to be sensible. Show myself an example of good deeds and acts, and with purity and doctrine, and dignified." In other words, now here's where we're going to get in trouble. Here's where, young men, it says, listen, notice he puts doctrine first, and then he has dignified after that. This is where Randall, we, and I include myself in this, missed the boat. The term dignified means that you are to be, young men, free from every and any moral taint. It means that this is not only in the church, but there should be no question of your moral dignity ever. Now, I want you young men to zero in on that. Now, yours is a little bit more difficult than the women because it tells the women, be keepers at home. But for you men, free from every moral taint. Now, I'm going to get a little bit more deeper into this. What does that mean? That means this. It means that if you are, and I want you to pay attention to me here. If you are dignified, you have to be free from that moral taint. Look at verse 8, and then we see how this moral taint is lived out. Sound in your speech. What you hear a young Christian man say, Jackie, is what he is. Whatever young man you say, that's who you are. Sound in speech. In other words, Paul is saying that you are to have a healthy and true logos. In other words, your words are to be healthy words, truthful words. Your supervisor, young guys, catch you in some mess, you are to admit right up front, yes, I was wrong. I'll suffer the penalty. I recall when I was working for the city, my supervisor would ask me, did you work last night? I listened to the question. Yeah, I worked last night. Did you cover your beat the way I told you to? I sure did. I covered it just the way you told me to. Did you put in a full 8 hours? No, I didn't. What? No, I didn't. Don't you know I can write you up? Yes, I do. But I did not put in a full 8 hours. Why are you telling me the truth? You asked for it. Well, you didn't put in a full 8 because of them. I'm not responsible for what they do. I didn't put in a full 8. I'm going to graduate school. I worked for 2.5 hours and I slept the rest of the time. I was tired. You know that's illegal. Yes, I do. You asked me if I put in a full 8. See, a young man, you cannot lie. No, I didn't. Now, you think I got docked? No, I didn't, because the supervisor would sleep too that night. I mean, the whole thing is a game. But you see, what the supervisor was doing was challenging me, challenging my Christianity. You know what I was doing. Now, I could have said this, sister, you know what I was doing, because you were doing it. We all doing it. Free from every moral taint. Sound in your speech. You husband, when your wife says, where have you been? This is some of us. None of your business. Oh, yes, it is, brother. Some of her business. Where have you been? I was with a friend. You didn't answer the question, brother. Where have you been? She's demanding names, addresses, times. What was communicated? She wants to know, did you appreciate it? What were you doing? What got you there? It's a sound in your speech. When your sweetheart might say, tell me everything about you. And you tell your sweetheart, brothers, everything but your lie. I recall when Lucy and I were dating before we got married, riding in my 62 Corvair. It was white, blue upholstery, beautiful little car. And I was riding going down the Santa Monica Freeway. And my wife asked me something, you know, have you ever had any girlfriends and everything? And I just told her, nope. Says I was a nerd when it came up, never had a lot of girlfriends, never was a womanizer, didn't know how to play the game. What you see is what you have. True. And she may not have wanted me to reveal that, but it was true. It's true. I never bulldozed her. Some of you men are bulldozing your women. And you know what? You know how the women finds out that the men is bulldozing the women? Attitudinal responses when you talk with your ladies. You can be firm and you can be masculine, but you are to be truthful. And you are to say, well, where I was, you might not want to hear about. Do you really want to hear it? Now, ladies, then you've got to think. Because if he answers you that way, he's getting ready to disseminate some truth. If you really don't want to hear it, say, well, no, not really. But if you really want to hear it, where were you? Do you really want to hear? Yes. Do you really want to hear what we were talking about? Do you really want to hear? Ladies, don't say yes. Because if I'm your husband, I'm going to say, I was talking about you. Because I need some help with you. See what I mean? Life is serious. And you know what? I'm trying to raise men to tell them the truth. But ask them, brothers, do you really want to know the truth? It dropped again. Did you see that? Look at that. Great. No. Most of us, my friends, really do not want to know the truth. Be careful, ladies, when you ask your man about truth, because he's got to give it to you. You want to see something? Wait a minute. Let me pull this one out. I can't do anything with this one, so guys, you're going to have to do the best you can without it, because it's getting in the way. Truth. Let's talk about this. Sound speech. Sound speech. What about this sound speech? It is beyond reproach. Beyond reproach. Your speech, men, your words, is something that is above disgrace. When they ask you questions, men, that means that you're going to give them something that cannot be condemned. When your speech is beyond reproach, what you say is who you are. No one can condemn you. In other words, no one will be able to take your words and use them against you at a later time. It's a courtroom term used here in the Greek. It also has this connotation, that your opponents cannot use anything against you to catch you. Now, brothers, it's getting tough. Well, what did you say? What did you mean? The Christian man is to use his brain. Paul says, be sensible, have a sound mind. And then he says that your words will not be taken and used against you. You know, I love for people to say, Pastor John, can I ask you a question? Sure, go ahead and ask me. What did you say last week? I said, la-di-da-di-da-di-da. What did you mean by that? You mean, what do I mean by that statement, or what do you mean by when I said it? When you said it. And it says, when I said it, I will give you the context in which I used it. La-di-da-di-da-di-da. Now, if somebody's able to go back and take what I said back there and bring, dig, and break another connotation of what? No! I'm a liar. My speech is not sound. There has been no thought process taking place in my Christian experience. I'm just doing like the world does. It has this connotation. It says, you should never be known as guilty or to be judged or to have scorn brought on you by what you say with your mouth. See, too many young men in the church today are saying a lot of things with their mouths, and some of it is said in your home to your wives, in the sound of your children, and is bringing scorn on you and on the name of the Lord. And we ought not do that. Hey, listen, this is where young men ought to be. Somebody makes you mad, get angry, but the Bible says what? Sin not. And let not the what? Too many young men, you get angry and you sinning. Some of you are cussing some people out. I mean, you just cussing them out in your house. Christian! Threatening to fight, want to beat up somebody? Have you ever seen a man go through a house when he's mad, Judy? I hope not. Tearing up stuff, I'll throw your behind out of here, I'll tear up everything. You better zero in. It says, can somebody bring scorn to your name? Young men are here, I'm in charge here, I'm bad, and I'll kick your... What? You better come to the Word of God and do what it tells you to do. I read that and it says to me, Pastor John, how have you spoken to your wife? Lord, I have sinned. I have sinned and I don't want to talk to my wife like that again. What's going to happen the next time she makes you angry? I'm going to stand there and I'm going to drop my head and I ain't going to say nothing. And I'm just going to be stabbed a while. Ugh. 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 Right, see, this is where young men supposed to take it. Right, right. Man, you're cutting me. Right, right, right. You're supposed to do just like that movie, Terminator. You know, just come right back together again. Bam! And start walking right back. You see, we can't do that. We get one blow, whack, and you say, we pull ours out. Wait a minute, what you doing? Let them stab you. Oh, preachers talk about me all the time, people. Preachers love to talk about me. I heard somebody say, have you heard of Pastor John? Yeah, who's that nitwit think he is anyhow? Well, you tell him that this nitwit don't think he's nobody. I'm just preaching the word of God, making it simple and plain. I'm telling young men, when they stab you and you're not going to get the promotion, and you're Christian, and you're so moral, and you're so nice, and you're so great. And you're just going to say, whew, that's great, man. Now give me on this side. You're going to ask for it. That's what your Christian experience. Ask for them to jam you. Ask for them to disagree with you. Look for people not to like you. You are a Christian. You are different. You're weird. You take punishment. You live of it. And you begin in your homes by doing it. And sometimes God is going to give you a wife that's going to use the blade because she's upset with what you're doing. And when she stabs you, you are to never cut back and stab at her. You are to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. My dear, take me out. Because you know that she can't. She can't take you out because God has you in. And that's what being a man is. Men do not know how to be men today. You know, I can see that very, very plain in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. It says, we shall know by this that we are of the truth, and shall assure our heart before him, and whatsoever our heart condemneth, for God is greater than our heart, who knows all things. John there is saying is that if in your heart you know that you are condemned by God for how you've been living, you can feign religion, young men, all you want. I would hope that your wives will tell you and your family will tell you and your friends will tell you, you are not that kind of man that the pastor was talking about, and I'm sick of it. This kind of man is a man against whom no fault can be alleged or sustained. Now, let me say something right now. If anybody wants to look up dirt on me, you're going to find it. Let me make this crystal clear. You want to find some dirt in Pastor John's life, you don't have to look far. You don't have to look too far back to find it, because it's there. But if somebody can bring a charge against me that is sustained, not only alleged, but sustained, it holds, you do that. Now, this is what I mean by that, young man. Somebody say, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you. I heard one of your brothers cuss out somebody 3 weeks ago. Now, that's an alleged charge. I would say, do you know why he did it? No. Does he do that all the time? I don't know. Is that a part of his character? I don't think so. I've never seen him do that. What do you think God's judgment is? Don't have the slightest idea. Why didn't you tell me? I just thought that you should know. That is not a sustained charge. Now, if you know about somebody that's every day cussing out somebody in this church, foul, dirty, filthy, low-down, scroungy language, flirting with women, touching women, doing things that he shouldn't do, all that kind of stuff, hey, well, you better bring that sustained charge. Bring some evidence. And I would dismember that person from this body, just like that. I would just say, you're not a part of this Christian body, because we cannot have that kind of behavior. That's what the Bible says. It says, beyond reproach. You can readily see now the severe consequences of our shipwrecked Christian lives, as well as you can sense a caution that we pick up from reading this text. Sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponent may be put to shame. Aren't these great words? Listen to what he says right here. This is why you to be this way. There are people out there, Christian men, that wants to take you out. There are women that are looking for Christian men for these reasons. Number one, a true Christian man is a faithful creature. First of all, he's faithful to God. Second of all, he's faithful to his home, faithful to himself. There are people out there looking for faithful men because we as Christian men are a few faithful men in an unfaithful society. People just arbitrarily up and leave the other person for no other reason but wanting another sexual partner. We live in an unfaithful society. Within the church, when you find a good Christian men, you see stability, compassion, stay power, faithfulness. Women look for that because women need that kind of a man. Those of you that are younger that are even thinking about getting married, let me tell you something. A woman does not want a man that does not know whether he is going to stay home. She doesn't want a man that doesn't know whether he's going to stay home. And I would ask a young man in a minute, you going to stay home or you going to run the street? You going to stay home and you like the pleasure life? You going to stay home and take care of business? Or you want to follow your partners that are non-Christians? You going to stay home? Every time I see you, you're going to be at the forum looking at a bounce of basketball. You going to stay home? Or are you going to give yourself a spaced out vacation every 6 weeks because you can't deal with tension? You going to stay home and deal with the pressure when your wife is telling you that you need a better job, a better life to put more money? Or are you going to run off? Are you going to stay home when your lady, when your woman tells you that you embarrass her? Are you going to run off? And some floozy just going to come up to you because she hasn't had a man in 6 months, and you look like the best thing going around, because if you're faithful, if you're Christian, if you're real, you do not have AIDS. You don't have it. You're clean. And women want men like that. That's why I tell you Christian women that got these husbands, you better hold on to what you have. I won't mention the person, but my wife showed me a photograph yesterday of a young man. Young man, I'm going to show his picture to the city lights when they come by my house. Graduated from a well-known high school in 1985. Very talented, very bright, from a very good home. And my wife showed me the photograph yesterday and said, dead of AIDS. I said, my God, no! I saw some of this lad's artwork. Brilliant, dead of AIDS. I think that's 5 years ago. I said, geez, Lucy, 5 years! And the young lad was 18 when he graduated, had his whole life ahead of him. I tell young people all the time, do not let anybody touch you, and don't touch anybody sexually. Do not exchange any sexual body fluids at all until God gives you a mate. Or you are dead. Now, when you come to City Lights, I'll show you his picture, dressed in his little tuxedo, standing full of life, future, dead. I'm telling you, young men, be sensible, be pure in your body, clean. I'm telling you, Christian men is what a Christian woman wants to find. It's a shame when a pastor, when he does marriage counseling, has to tell both persons that he counseled, and that's what I do when I do marriage counseling, I tell them to go get an AIDS test and bring me the results. I do no marriage counseling. Oh, no, Jackie, you can live down all you want. That's not a shameful thing. I'm trying to save that partner's life. You want to marry who? They won't tell you who their sexual partners has been. Oh, they won't tell. Oh, no, no. That ain't none of your business. Hey, did you hear that? They want to marry you. Yeah. Did you answer that? I wanted to see the AIDS test. That ain't none of your business. You crawling with the disease and want to kill the person you want to marry. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I speak to pastors. You mean, man, you get that sensitive? That ain't sensitive. That's life. You don't know what the person got crawling up in them, jumping around with all these people. Well, we use prophylactics. That don't mean nothing. Get checked and bring me the result. I'm talking to you, and listen, you young Christians better listen to me, because if you love breathing life and feeling good, I'm 47 years old, and God willing, unless you give me a heart attack next week or something, I hope to live till I'm as long as I can and enjoy life. I will never die of AIDS. Never, 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 never. Nobody's body fluids is going to be mixed with mine. But my wife that God has given me. That's all. Anybody else come to me, they're trying to commit murder on me. And I was like, why do you want to kill me, you slut?
Oh, you You just so
filthy. Give me the AIDS card. I wonder how many men would say that to women. I bet John Jones, I wonder how many men would say that to women. I wonder how many when you hit on, brothers, when you hit on, say this, show me your AIDS card, baby. What do you take me for? Well, if you talk to me, you act like a whore. You just proposition me. He says, do I look like a whoremonger to you? People, why don't we get real?